Good evening and welcome. My name is Ronald Kelly, and I serve as a pastoral assistant here at St. Marcus. And as I grow and learn, I consider it a privilege and an honor to be sharing the Word of God with you this evening. Our sermon text comes from the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you were followed the ways, when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are all God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. This is the word of the Lord. Our God is so thoughtful, so caring, and so loving for blessing us with life. Sometimes life is compared to a card game. The saying goes, play the hand that you are dealt. With God as our dealer, I believe everyone is dealt a perfect hand for them to play. Now, the game that I played coming up was spades. And if you play cards, you know it's nothing like getting dealt that good hand. So certain confidence comes over you and you feel like you're about to take over. Now, call me competitive, but when I used to play with my friends, it was no secret that who had the good hand. I mean, before the cards were finished being dealt, the trash talking had already begun. Now, you had to sit back and listen to it, which I did, but I found great satisfaction because of my competitive nature, where the person who did all that trash talking in the beginning sat in silence because the hand didn't go the way he or she thought it should. Now, it's not the card's fault that the hand didn't go the right way. It was the player who didn't play the hand the right way. In the same way, it's not God's fault when our lives don't go the way we want them to go, especially if we're not living them right. Life is sort of like a game of cards. Very little we can control. The goal is simply to do the best we can with what we have been given. Unfortunately, all humanity has played poorly. It's not a matter of better or worse, but all have fallen short of God's glory. In the Apostle Paul's letter to the Ephesians, I believe Paul was trying to share the right way to live. In Christ Jesus, because we have a God who has generously given us life, and with grace and mercy, he tells us that you and I can share in the victory with our Savior Jesus Christ, because the devil has been defeated. This letter gets written by the Apostle Paul around 60 AD. after his third missionary journey. Before the letter was written, the Apostle Paul visited Ephesus, and in sharing the gospel, he was able to reason with the Jews in the synagogue, and they invited him to stay because they wanted to learn more. Paul wanted to keep his missionary journey going forward, but he promised that he will return. When Paul did return to Ephesus, these same people wasn't as receptive. They refused to believe, and they made a public spectacle of Paul. Paul still remained in Ephesus for a few years, baptizing, preaching, and performing miracles. Paul would later travel to Jerusalem, where he would be arrested. This letter to the Ephesians is one of the four epistles known as the prison epistles. It was written to the people of Ephesus during Paul's first imprisonment in Rome. The letter to the Ephesians tells them and us all where we were. Verse 1 through 3 of chapter 2 reads, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and the ruler of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts." The story of our lives at the start is a very sad one. We are born sinners. We start off dead in our transgressions, and this is the case for us all. While Paul was visiting Ephesus, he encountered people who didn't know the truth. Sometimes it's hard for us to figure out the truth. And in the meantime, we convince ourselves that wrong is right because of what our flesh desires. And instead of walking towards Christ to accept his grace and salvation, we walk away. Despite even our best intentions, we're blinded and in the dark. God's word is a light to our feet. We'll continue to fumble around in life in the dark, worthless pursuits, hurting people, dead in our transgressions to anything that is good. From birth, we are enslaved by the unholy Trinity: the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh. Without a Savior, you and I will remain slaves. Born spiritually dead, we need a resurrection. God didn't see anyone who could do it alone, so in his mercy, he sent a Savior. Now, some of the most intriguing television I've been watching, and let me remind you, I've been watching way too much TV lately, are the stories of somebody being brought back to life. Now, if you watch movies, you all know the movie that an incident or accident occurs, and all of a sudden, there's this hospital scene, and you have doctors and nurses racing down the hospital hallways, and someone in the bed, seriously hurt, and a loved one right at their side. Now, they are always, it seems to me, too late, because by the time they make it to the operating room and start their procedure, the patient is gone. Let me also remind you that I'm not watching these movies alone. My wife is forcing me to watch them. And it's at this time that after I've been sitting about an hour and a half through a Lifetime special, she always wants me to go get her some popcorn. Now you've made me sit an hour and a half through this movie and stuff is starting to get real. I don't want to get the popcorn. I want to see what's coming next. So when sadness enters the room because the patient couldn't be saved, before disbelief sets in, we always see a sign of life. This is the time, because I don't want my wife to see me crying, I'm happily ready to go and get the popcorn so I can gather myself. Now, no matter how many movies I've seen like this, the same feeling comes over me every single time. Seeing someone miraculously saved puts a joy in our hearts that's hard to explain. Yet I take for granted, though, how many lives have been saved by God. Jesus is the great physician who brings us back to life with the shock of the gospel. But he's such a good doctor that he's willing to get in the coffin, his cross, in our place for our sins. And through his death, he gives us a message that can shock us alive. Not only are we now alive, but our life will be spent in paradise for all eternity. And that gift of abundant life impacts our life here on earth too. Verse 4 reads, "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ when we were dead in our transgressions." And verse 7 reads, "In order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For as by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." Our journeys of faith are miraculous ones. Spiritually, we were dead, flatline. But because of his mercy and because of his grace, we have life in us. Not only are we alive, but our life will be spent in paradise for all eternity. So where do we go from here? Verse 10 reads, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." It's good news that despite our sins and our helplessness, God chose to come and help us. He loved us not because we were so lovable, but because he's so full of love. As Christians, we have to be a great example so people can see and know how great our God has been to us all. We have to be walking billboards, but we don't want the caption of the advertisement to read, "Look at me and what I got." You and I want it to read, "Look at our Lord and all the great things he has given me." He has given us life. He has shown us mercy. He has sent his one and only Son. Our sins have been forgiven, and we've been left with his Holy Spirit. He has given us a perfect hand to play. How are you and I going to play it? He has created us to do good works. So how are we going to respond? We are to live a life that praises God and gives him the glory. We are to do this not to earn a higher status. The seat at his right, I read, has already been taken. I remember when I was younger and someone would give me something, and if 5 seconds went by of silence, my mom would quickly say, "And boy, what do you say?" Spiritually, we have been brought back from the dead. given life, and showered with grace. Brothers and sisters, what do we say? Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Since we've been given undeserved life, we live our life as a thank you to God. The goal of this life is transformed from being about us to being about the glory of God. We all have been graciously given a life worth living. Thanks be to God. Amen.